good to be here tonight. I'm going to start a new series tonight. I want you to go to Acts chapter 9. We'll start there tonight. And I'll do an exposition of each passage that I'll take you to, and though I'll take you to several passages in the Word of God. Now, you folks online, be sure to share this. I want you to share this sermon that I'm starting this new series. And also, you can get in on the message right now. Now, without going to your social media, and without going to Google, hello, I'm going to be preaching tonight. Let me give you an idea what I'm going to be preaching on. I'm preaching on a series on the double calls, C-A-L-L-S, in the Bible. Now, I'm glad that God calls us individually. Say amen. But there's just something about when God uses your name twice. Somebody help me preach. Now, for you online, you can make a comment. Don't go to Google. Or if anybody in the room right now can stand, and you'll get a $10 gift card from Chick-fil-A, without going into Google, name the 9 people and 1 city it was called double. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. Boom. So you'll learn something tonight then. Amen. Let's go and we'll see the last one in actually the rotation far as scripture goes. But I want to deal with it first because it deals with one of the most important matters that can be dealt with. Acts chapter number 9, if you're there, say amen. Amen. And you'll get the gist of what I'm preaching real quick. And verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the Lord, the disciples of the Lord went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, the Christian way, church people's way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him," notice number 1, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Thank God for the reading of the Word of God. How many noticed the double mention? Now, let me make a few things by way of introduction. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, God, in various times, calls people by their name. I'm glad one day he called me by my name. And called me, and I knew he called me. It wasn't a thing of my imagination. I knew I got a call from God. By the way, you can't be saved without a call from God. Somebody help me preach. We don't preach that much anymore. You know, there's got to be old-timey conviction before a sinner can be saved. We don't preach that anymore. We preach join the church. We preach a little emotionalism. No, no, no. You got to fall out from sin. You got to repent of your sin. You got to trust Christ. That's why we got a lot of superficial church members that's never been saved. Never got under the spout where the glory come out. They're not really saved. I'm preaching. We see it all over our country. Churches are full of lost people. Amen. Now, but tonight, and I'm going to try to get quick. Man, I got a lot to preach. I'm like I was this morning. I got a lot of introduction, then maybe a few little points tonight. But first of all, when there was a double call, number one, it was a direct address. That means God, listen to me carefully, was trying to get somebody's immediate attention. How many remember the day when God came around your house and came where you was, and He put a call on you? And you know why He called you? Not to call somebody else, not to get anybody else's attention, but to get your attention. And I'm afraid, you listen to me, when the preacher starts preaching sometimes, here's what goes on in church. I wonder who he's talking about. Is he talking about Natalie? I'm just using now. Is he talking about one of these young preachers? I wonder who he's talking about. No. When God's word is being exhorted and explained, he's talking to you. And trying to get your attention. Good preaching, Reverend. Woo! But don't leave me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Excuse me. Stay with me a minute. Then thirdly, when he calls, it's an expression of intimacy. Think about it. How sweet is it in your darkest valley or when you needed him most, he comes and speaks to you. Some of y'all didn't get that, but I want to tell you what I got. I'm glad that there's been some times that I didn't know what was right, didn't know what was wrong, didn't know what I should do. Times I was in a dark place, deep down in darkness, but he came with an intimate, sweet, almost silent voice, still a small voice, and spoke to me and said, "Here's what I need from you." Poor. But I like this last one the best. When he does them double calls, y'all hear this. Here's what he's trying to do. He's trying to elevate you or to promote you to a higher position. Oh, I don't think you got it. When God speaks to you and calls you, and when he calls you twice, here's what he's trying to do. He's trying to elevate you that you can find purpose and find the will of God and find what he has for somebody. He ought to help me preach that right there. That excites me. I want to tell you, there have been some times in my life that I don't know why, but God called me and elevated me to a position where he wanted to use me, and he did use me, and I'm thankful that I was used. Hallelujah. Somebody help me preach. Now, I'm not going to preach all this, so say thank you very much. I'm only going to preach one, but I am going to name them to you, the series. I won't name each point, but in Genesis 22, he called a guy named Abraham. And he said, "Abraham, Abraham." You know why he called him? He wanted to see if he was going to obey him and go offer his only begotten son. And then God elevated him. Then there was a man named Jacob that God called Jacob. You know why God called him twice? He wanted to call him so he'd be a great nation. By the way, he changed Jacob's name into Israel, depicting him the leader of that great nation. Somebody help me preach. Then he called Moses. You said, why did he call Moses? So he might elevate Moses, and Moses might be the vehicle to go down and deliver the children of Israel out of bondage. I wonder what is God calling you for? And why is he calling you for? And I believe this, he's trying to elevate you that you might find purpose and His will that you might reach somebody else with the Word of God. Somebody help me preach. And then how about Samuel? Amen. He called him twice too. You said, why did he call him? So he could make him priest and king and judge. And by the way, it took Samuel 3 times to finally listen to God. But finally he did. And he said, Lord, here I am now. Whatever you speak, I listen. You know what's wrong with us? Sometimes God's calling and we ain't listening. And He's got to turn our whole life upside down to get our attention. Am I preaching? Then he called, Lord, Lord. And by the way, that is to teach. There's a group of people in Christendom in the last days. They ain't going to go to heaven. They'll call Lord, Lord. They'll even prophesy in God's name. But He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. The saddest thing I know is for someone that thinks they're saved, thinks they might be right, and die and go to hell because they've never really trusted Christ to save. You better start taking this serious. You better make sure you're saved. You better make sure when you say, Lord, Lord, it's real. And one day he called Martha, Martha. Let's don't get too hard on Martha. Martha was a worker. But he also was trying to elevate her to get her to do what her sister Mary was doing. And that was to get close to God and worship God. I tell you, it'd be a great day in our life if we'd ever really get close to God. That not just close on Sunday, close on Monday, close on Tuesday, close on Wednesday, close all week long. I mean, we're in our Bible, we're praying, we're soul winning, we're trying to do right. That's what God wants us to do. Am I preaching? I'm trying to give you the introduction. I'm almost, I believe I got them all but the last one. And then we're going to talk about Saul. Saul, Saul. Now I mentioned Miss Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I'll deal with that. But there, by the way, God's trying to call our nation. How many believe God's trying to call our nation? I'm not going to get into politics. I'll let some politician do that. And I'm not going to talk about no party. But there ain't nobody in this room with the right mind that know we're in trouble. And we need God. And sometimes God, like He did in this case, called a city out for repentance. See, Jerusalem was where they crucified the Lord. There was coldness and religion there. But there wasn't much Jesus. I want to say this. And I'm trying not to be harsh. I want you to know there's a lot of coldness, a lot of deadness, a lot of apathy right in the house of God. We buy tracts and can't even get you to pass them out. Somebody help me preach. I mean, we preach every week that you need to get right with God. And how many went to the altar with your tears? I'm trying to. But let's deal with what few minutes we got remaining. With this, let me say it this way. Religious zealot. Make no matter. Don't think for a minute that Paul wasn't a zealot. Hey, he was raised and taught by Gamaliel. The smartest mind of the day. And do you know, in his persecution of the church, he was doing it because he thought it was right. He was so sold out to his faith, his Jewish legalism, that he went out and persecuted the Christian. But how many's glad that when we were at our worst, on our Damascus road, somebody help me preach, that God stopped us and interrupted us and said, I need you for my purpose, and you're going to quit persecuting the church, and you're going to join the church and teach the church. Somebody say amen. Now here's well, I've been preaching hard today. I'm trying. Now here's what I want you to connect with me. I want to preach tonight on the call of salvation. There is not a more important call in the world than the call of salvation. Somebody say, oh, happy day. When God called me and drew me and He showed me His purpose in me and I got saved. Oh, happy day. Let me give you a verse. Write this verse down. Maybe you might want to take this home and shout on it. When he said, Saul, Saul, God knew he had a purpose in him. I cannot for the life of me sometimes understand. When God, Bill Lamont, back there witnessed to me, and I got under a whole time of conviction, and that's been 49 years now. I want you to know I do know something today, that God had a purpose in my life, and God wanted to elevate me and use me and help me build a church like this. Somebody help me preach. And here's what thrills me. When I thought, you will get to y'all, but you young preacher need to get this. When I thought there wasn't any good in me at all, God saw something in me. And God said, I'm going to choose that old boy. And I'm going to call that old boy. And I'm going to use that old boy. I ain't supposed to be out there, am I? And I'm going to use that old boy. And I'm going to bless that old boy. And he's going to be a preacher's friend. He's going to be a young preacher's friend. He's going to be a church membership friend. He's going to be a guy that loves God and preaches Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. So, in saying that, here's what I want to emphasize. When God makes a double call, and I want y'all to get this. This is so big to me, I can't understand this. It tells me that He has an infinite knowledge of what He's going to do in us before we ever know anything. I don't think you got that. When God double calls us to get our attention, that tells me that God has an infinite, listen to this, infinite knowledge of what He's going to do in your life. Amen. How many thought these two twin brothers? You ain't twins, but you're close enough. Look at you. You're serving God. You're preaching the gospel. You're doing what's right. You didn't know that. Mom and Dad didn't know that. But God knew it. Somebody help me preach. Let me give you five things. I'm done. I'm done. Almost. Five things. I want you to get this. This is so good. This is so big. It blesses me. I hope it'll bless you. Follow me in the passage. Look at verse number 4. He says, Saul, Saul. I want you to notice number 1. God knows who you are. That's a marvelous thought. God knows who you are. You said, I live here in Hooker, West Virginia. How can He know? He knows everybody. I tell you, first of all, He knows those that are lost. Amen. Listen to me. And thank God He knows those that are saved. Nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord stands sure. For the Lord knows them that are His. Somebody preach. God knows the lost. By the way, because you're a church member, it don't mean you're not saved or you're lost. Not lost. Somebody help me preach. If you never come to repentance and you've never trusted Christ, you're lost. You said, but my name's on the book. Is your name in heaven? Amen. He knows who you are. When we think we're a nobody, this is what's big to me. God thinks that He can make us somebody out of you. There's a lot of you people in this church. Your background may not have been so pleasant and so great, but look what God has done. Look what happened when that miracle of salvation came to you. God knows who you are. And I like this. Look at verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Number 2, write this down. I'm almost done. I'm closing. Hallelujah. Not only God knows who you are, God knows where you are. He knows where you are physically. But most of all, He knows where you are spiritually. Now, I'm doing my best tonight to be not harsh. I am. But sometimes we have too much of an overestimate of our spirituality. Am I preaching?
Amen.
Hey, sometimes we think we're a whole lot more spiritual than we really are. Sometimes we think we have arrived. Oh, I'm preaching. And we get so legalistic, we get so angry, we get so moody, we get so judgmental. Somebody help me preach. We have not arrived. Your preacher has not arrived. You have not arrived. But God knows where you are physically, and He knows where you are spiritually. By the way, you might come in this church every once in a while and act like Mr. Spirituality when you're as carnal as the devil. I want you to know God knows exactly where you're at. He knows if you're putting on a front. He knows if you're the real deal or a fake. You say you're getting down to, you're really getting close. Oh, we need to get close if we're going to have revival. We need to get close. Are you the real deal or are you a fake? How many's with me? Now listen to this carefully. I'm moving. Number 3, write this down, verse 4. Boy, this is great. God knows what you're doing. Look at the verse. And he journeyed, and he came near Damascus. And by the way, if you read the verse prior, he was going out persecuting the church, and he's going to Damascus to bring letters for persecution of them that are in Jerusalem. And he went out to persecute the church. And by the way, I want to tell you, God knows what you are doing. Boy, it's quiet in here. Am I preaching? Now listen carefully. This first point brings joy to me. He knows what you're doing right. Can I be an old man for a moment and give you some good advice? You don't have to go out and put a poster board on your front side and back side to say how great you are and how good you are and how right you are. You don't need to do that. Because God knows if you're right, and God knows if you love Him. God knows if you're faithful to church, faithful to your tithing, faithful in your giving, faithful in your praying, faithful in your soul wish. Somebody help me pray. God knows if you're doing right. You ought to get up and say, boy, look how right I am. No, no, no. God knows if you're right or not. But there's another side of that. Somebody help me preach. God knows when you're doing wrong. It amazes me. And by the way, I've seen about everything in the 43 years I've been here. And I have. That people can come to church and get under this type of preaching and go outside 6 days a week and live a double life. Social drink. Boy, it's quiet in here. Gossip. Angry and hurt people. Bitter. Am I preaching? It's an epidemic of folks that try to put on some kind of charade. God knows if you're right and God knows if you're wrong. He said, well, the preacher didn't catch me. I was over to Applebee's one day. Why am I always put in these places? I went over to eat. It wasn't a current church member, but it was an ex. And I remember when they left, they left saying, well, they just wouldn't get nothing at church. Okay, that's fine with me. But they was in there with a big mug of beer. Boy, it's quiet in here now. I think I'm getting the beer drinkers' attention tonight. Drinking and guzzling and laughing and giggling. God have mercy. Do you really think that we can get by with our bad behavior and God not know it? Our secret lives, what we do in the secret. And you say, oh, nobody knows. My husband doesn't know. My wife doesn't know. My children doesn't know. No. But God knows. Am I preaching? Somebody said, no, we should hurry. I'm almost done. Those who get ready to play, just a moment. Number four. Look at verse 3 again. And verse 4. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Number 4. God knows how to get your attention. What works with me may not work with you. But God knows how to get your attention. Joe, you used to go to this church. And it's been years ago, even before your time. I did revival there. Over on the other side of the river. And there's a fellow there that had been saved and backslid on God. And buddy, he just thought he could get away with everything and nothing would happen. Well, he got up in church service and got right with God that night while I was preaching. And here's what he said. He got right up in that church. I'll never forget it. He said, I want you to know something. I'm coming back to God tonight because God got my attention. Me and my 3 kids and wife were over in the Kanawha River fishing. And somehow the boat turned over. And I lost them all. And he said, I know that God chastised me, and it took me losing 3 of my kids and my wife for God to get my attention. I want you to know something. God can take the dearest thing you have if you're playing a phony to get your attention. You say, well, ain't nothing he could do. By the way, he chastens. If you're really saved, he chastens you. You can't do wrong and not get chastened. I later talked to that guy, and he told me, he said, God dealt with him for years, chastened him, but he knew that God had to go to that extreme to get his attention. It took a light that struck Paul down, or Saul down to the ground. Stuck a light. What's it going to take for you to get on the altar? And for you to say, I want revival? And for you to get close to God? What is it going to take? Lastly, I'm done. Look at verse number 6. Hope you're following me. I'm just doing an exposition of this passage. Hope you're following me. Look at verse number 6. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Lastly, God knows how to meet your need. God knows we need him as Lord. And by the way, that's when Saul got saved. When he recognized the Lordship of Christ. And that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou and thou shalt be saved. Then God knows we need him to direct our lives. Are you looking for the will of God in your life? Are you looking for the purpose of God in your life? What does God have to do to get your attention, to speak your name twice, and bring you to repentance? Bow your head with me. I really want you to be honest tonight. Lord, thank you for coming. How many of you know that you know if you die tonight, you're going to heaven? Raise your hand high. And if you don't know, don't raise it. Thank you. How many's here tonight and you're not saved, but you've been wanting to be saved? And you know God's been working on you, calling you. How many in the church tonight not saved? Say, preacher, before I die, before the Lord comes, I want to know I'm going to heaven. Raise your hand right now. I pray for you. Slip it up. If you're not sure you're saved, not sure you're saved. How many right now say, preacher Smith, I know I'm saved. I'm a Christian. But I know there's some things in my life that God knows about that I need to get right. And I want you to pray for me because I need to get closer to God. How many Christians raise your hand? All the house. Thank you. Stand with me. And I'd like for everyone that raised your hand, every Christian, come around this altar. Do business with God. Our Father, thank you for your good word today. Thank you for the great power of the Holy Spirit in this place. Speak to your children as they come. Lord, help us to find ourselves 100% in the will of God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you coming?